time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. I am Paul Lavoie. It is Tuesday, November 18th, 2025, and look what we found.
Yes, we found Dos Jefes.
We found you before the bounty hunter found you.
Well, that's happened. Amazing. I think this is all an effort to trick me into being lost. You change the day, you change the time. Next thing you're going to change the location.
Wait till the first of the year.
None of it's working, Paul.
Wait till the first of the year. That's funny.
None of it's working.
It's not. It is the D.A. The Dia de los... Wait a minute. The Dia de los Dos Jefes.
Si.
How do you get a Spanish tongue twister?
I don't know,
but you,
I think any
you
of it
did
is
it.
For us.
Do you? You should hear the story of me in Gila Bend. We ain't going there, though. Uh-oh. All right, welcome to the show, everybody. And we have two guests, of course, in the studio are our chiefs. I'll get it right today.
Yes.
Chief Troy Sterling, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
How are you, sir?
Great. Thank you for the working lunch today, the big spread you have here.
He's throwing amazing. Guilt at me now. I got Oreos. I got actually, we have shortbread cookies. And they're kind of messy, but they taste like the ones that I found in Cayucos at the cookie factory. So, welcome, Chief Pete.
Hi, welcome. Happy Tuesday.
Fire Chief Pete Palafis in the house.
Yes, thank you.
This is your favorite time of year, isn't it?
It is.
I was kidding.
I'll make it. Every time of year is, except for the rain. I'm over the rain.
I love the rain.
Do you?
Yes. We don't get enough of it.
That's why I moved to Arizona.
Why you moved to the desert.
I know.
It's kind of refreshing.
I guess it is. Everybody says it's refreshing. The smell does not smell refreshing.
You know what else I really love right now? That tree across the street.
Yeah, it turned out really nice.
I hope it's not a communications tower in disguise.
It might be a new cell tower.
Not after what we just went through. Please, God, no. But, welcome to the show, guys. And I got an announcement here. You know, the Mojave T-Birds are going on to the third round of the state 4A playoffs.
Oh,
did you know that?
I did not know that.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Four touchdowns out of one guy, a running back, I believe. Two TDs in the air from Joe Yoni, the quarterback, and he's a four-year starter, by the way. And it was 42-35, if I remember right. And, they play at the Anderson Fieldhouse. So if you have press credentials like I do, you get him free. Otherwise, I believe it's $10. So if you want to go to that game. But even more impressive, Mojave College soccer team. Are you guys following this?
They're doing amazing. Yeah.
Getting the press releases on them. It looks like they're doing
this
great.
This is the Nationals.
Nice.
NJCAA Nationals. It's JUCO, but it's still the Nationals. I mean, come on, a second-year team?
Yeah.
They qualified last year for the playoffs, but they couldn't go because they were a first-year team. Some weird rule, right?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it's what do they call that these days? It's a little, there's a word, janky. It's a little janky, right? So, anyway, here's the press release from James Jarman. Mojave College secures a 3-2 victory over Otero College in the NJCAA National Championship match. To me, that means the National Championship they won. But I don't know. It's and then it says they advanced. It was a hard-fought 3-2 victory yesterday afternoon at the Daytona State College Soccer Complex in Daytona Beach. Now, they're playing like 10 a.m. games. That's really hard to get ready for.
Sure.
It really is. It's almost as hard as to sing at 10 a.m. as it is to play a soccer game. So, Mojave opened the scoring in the 18th minute. Alan Salgado, again, he buried his 16th goal of the year. That's a really good total for a team that plays like 12 games so far. Mauricio Velasquez put the Bighorns ahead. Oh, it was an assist from Mauricio Vasquez. And they were ahead 1-0 or 1-0. And then Otero responded in the 36th minute. And then it just was back and forth, back and forth. The Bighorns added to their advantage early in the second half. So they were up 3-1, and Otero fought back, but couldn't overtake the Bighorns. And Chase Radford from the Bighorns recorded 4 saves in the win, improved his season record to 11-1, the goalkeeper. 11-1. Mojave totaled 15 shots, 8 on target, while Otero had 17 shots with 6 on goal. So they were outshot and out-targeted, but they were outshot, and they still won.
That's awesome.
It is impressive. It is very impressive. So I have to give props to their coach, Camilo Valencia. A lot of soccer has to do with coaching, has to do with formation, has to do with a lot of decisions with training and endurance. And that's where I played the beautiful game for a lot of years, 11 years. And that team, man, that's a second-year coach from UNLV. And Camilo, you're getting it done, man, if you can hear this, which they're still in Daytona, but that's a great win. Everybody in the tri-state should just be over the moon about the Mojave College team. That was a really good team.
Yeah, congratulations.
You guys are like, what's soccer?
I played a little bit in high school, a little bit, but then...
Was that in PE? Or
yeah, it was in intramural.
I'm kidding. Really? Yeah, no. You played because girls were out there?
Yeah.
God, coach. I mean, chief. Wow. Anyway, good job. And everybody that's at home that knows the other football, American football, get out and support the Mojave T-Birds, and they have the golden shovel, too. Yeah. So what are you going to do, right? And they still have it on their reader board. Did you know that?
No.
Cheney told me that. They still have a picture of them winning the shovel on their electronic reader board outside the high school on Highway 95. So like 10,000 cars see it every day.
Wow.
Oh, man. But you got to give props to the Golden Knights, right?
Yep.
They went to the second round.
They did.
This
they did
is a
great
team that I said, and we're going to have Coach on the show on Thursday. He's going to be in studio. We're going to do a little recap because they landed a lot of good players. Luke Johnson was player of the year in their division, and they landed a lot of players what do they call it, all-conference? On the all-conference team?
Regional.
Or all-region team.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that, and I just, once they lost the shovel game, I went, wow, where's this team go from here? And they reeled off a bunch of wins.
They did. Yep.
So there you go. Had they beaten Deer Valley, they probably would have ended up with a bye in the first round, and things would have been a little bit different. So that's 1 point, a 1 point loss right there. So anyway, let's talk about what we're here to talk about, right? You want to talk about e-bikes, or you want to talk about graffiti, or do we want to talk about medians, or what do we want to light up the phones with today?
What do you want to start with?
Let's talk about
let's ask Jim. Jim, e-bikes.
Yeah, let's go with e-bikes. I recall not terribly long ago we had a show about dealing with e-bikes.
So is there an e-bike problem, or?
Well, is there?
Well, there was with a guy who turned off a bunch of power boxes, right? He was on an e-trike.
Yeah.
That was crazy, though. But
so I think a good overview of where we are today is talking about what went in front of city council, a change in city ordinance, which our city ordinance, before we updated it, was very old. And so a big part of that was really to update the language to support what technology is out there today. And of course, the common theme is, our electric bikes, other electric devices that are now out there on the roads. And so The focus on that was updating language, and then let's kind of see what may work for our community. And so City Council decided let's go with these specific areas like the Bridgewater Channel, the Island Walking Path, and Rotary Park. Is let's make those specific areas where if you are riding these devices, that they need to be under human power. So in other words, if you have an e-bike, you just need to be pedaling. All right. And so a lot of them have that assist feature where you can pedal and it still provides the power from the electricity to keep you moving. But that was the ultimate goal. Let's try the human power piece first and see how that works for our community. And so that's what's been in place. And then part of that was really an education platform of, and we took that brunt of having our officers go to every school in the school district and our private schools and did third grade through 12th grade in the classroom, teaching them the rules of the road.
Gee.
And so they touched every one of those classes to do that education piece. And a lot of it is the rules of the road haven't changed. You know, that they've been the same forever. And those common things, if you're riding in the roadway, you need to follow the direction of traffic. You need to stop at stop signs. All the things that a vehicle would do, you're supposed to do when you ride even a bicycle. Mm-hmm. All right, so nothing changed on that. And so that was really where this started. And so once we got the education piece out, then it was trying to monitor it and try to be at the right place at the right time to make sure that we're stopping individuals that aren't following the rules and continue with that education push. Historically, we don't typically go out there and just look for those, you know, riding these devices or bicycles and look to give them citations, right? The ultimate goal is for everybody to be able to, you know, get to one location to the next safely. And so it's really all about that. Are there some people that need citations because of their behavior? 100%. And so that's what we try to focus on. So some of the things, when we're talking about e-bikes, I reached out to Sergeant Jackson and Sergeant Burns. They're the ones that really, handled a lot of the educational platform. And so talking to them about what they're still seeing out there. And so the biggest thing we're seeing a lot, especially with our youth, in just not abiding by the rules of the road. And so that's a frustrating piece. You know, we still see them riding the wrong way in traffic. And of course, the common theme, even from adults, is, well, I want to see the traffic coming at me versus it coming from behind me. Well, that's not what the law supports. The law is that you need to ride with the direction, the flow of traffic, and you need to abide by the traffic rules. And so, and that means stopping at stop signs, et cetera, right? And so, those are the main things we're seeing. The big thing is, I've seen it improve a lot, is we added in the ordinance about kids under the age of 16 required to wear helmets. And so have seen a good increase in kids wearing helmets, but we want to hit on that and make sure that's still occurring. And those that are listening out there, it doesn't help if you wear a helmet that's not latched. And so the point being is that it's supposed to protect your head when you hit something. So that's the ultimate goal of that. One of the things I wrote down that I wanted to address is really we still deal with a lot of complaints from especially the Bridgewater Channel area. And so that's an area that we have. We dedicated some time into monitoring that. We actually purchased a couple of our own e-bikes that will be police e-bikes that will help us engage with the public, especially in certain areas, and that will be one of them. And essentially just our presence itself sometimes helps.
Sure.
And so that's what we're trying to accomplish as well. And so hopefully people will start seeing us more out there, since this is really that nice time of year that we'll start to see that type of traffic increase down in that area. But I also want to say this is not just a police issue. This is a community issue. This is a parents need to get with their children. They need to educate them and support what we're trying to teach out there with abiding by the rules of the road. And so we're going to continue to push out video or educational content. But if there's any specific questions about those things, please don't hesitate to reach out and ask. and we want to make sure that we're giving the proper education out there.
Are the issues mostly with kids and youth? That where
I will say that's the one, it seems like the complaints tend to be focused on the youth. I will say just in my own personal observations of driving around, you know, any of our city streets, when you see even adults, you know, they still don't abide by all the rules of the road either. So I don't want to just pick on, you know, our youth, but of course they are the ones that seem to be that don't necessarily pay common courtesy to pedestrians, and so that's what we kind of need to work on there.
And it's kind of surprising. I know every now and then I'm surprised to see one of these devices in traffic or at speeds that seem somewhat alarming.
Right. Exactly. One of the things that continues to get brought up is I've seen it even on social media is people have the feeling that e-bikes are not, or bicycles even, are not allowed to be on sidewalks. And no, that's not the case. That varies, I think, on city to city based on their own ordinances. Our city right now does allow that, but the same rules apply. Number one, common courtesy, but you need to also, allow for pedestrians, right? You need to give them, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me out, Pete. You're here for a reason.
Courtesy
today.
In the right-of-way?
Yeah, just providing the right-of-way, I guess, to pedestrians is the most simplest way. But, you know, try to go with the flow of traffic as well. But ultimately, just being respectful.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we could just do that, I think we'd solve a lot of the issues.
This seems like, to me, generational learning. Right, you're teaching them now when they're young.
Yeah.
They'll know a little bit. I mean, they'll know the rules of the road when they're in their 20s, and that doesn't do you a lot of good right now. Is there something that maybe needs to be updated with the city as far as ordinances go?
I don't know. Those aren't discussions that we've currently had.
Okay.
I know it may be getting to that time. I haven't sat down, you know, with the city manager or city council members to have that conversation, you know, because really when we had this or going through this conversation, council was back and forth on whether they just wanted to even ban, those devices from certain areas. And so I think we want to be cautious on, you know, how far we go with certain things and trying to navigate through that. And so, I think we're just a work in progress, right?
You know, with a mayor gone by, and I'm not going to mention any names, there might have been a ban.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying. And I'm not talking about Mayor Nexon either. I'm just way before that. But anyway, e-bikes, there's another aspect to the story, too, with the charging, of safe charging of e-bikes, isn't there? You don't want to leave them unattended.
No, it's not. Make sure that you're using the proper device that came with the manufacturer for that e-bike. Instead of mix-matching or buying stuff just off Amazon that are made not for that specific bike, putting them on charge for too long, some of the individuals, and this is not for even kids, but for our older adults that stay here for the winter and then leave for the summer, and they leave them charged in. If you're not going to use it, that's with anything electronic. And I know it's hard for us to comprehend that sometimes until it happens to us, and then it becomes a crisis or problem. But sometimes we are the ones that create those problems by not following directions. And we do have a lithium-ion battery problem here, especially in the summertime. There's a lot of energy stored in those batteries, and when they have that chemical reaction underneath fires, they do intensify. That's why I'd love to span, if anybody has any old batteries, lithium-ion batteries that you need to get rid of, December 13th, we have our household hazardous waste, Station 2, from 8 to 12. You can get rid of those batteries along with the list of other items that you can get rid of, your old oil, old gasoline, your paint. Paint, that one's kind of always been like a sore subject to me, is because, not saying it dries quickly now, but during the summer, lay it out, let it dry out, comes a solid, then you can dispose of it instead of waiting to the household hazardous waste. But the city and Republic Services has a great partnership to keep our city clean and making sure that we keep our environment clean also. So I kind of wanted to
spin
in.
What's the date on that again?
That is going to be December 13th from 8 to noon. It's a Saturday at Station 2.
I got you, Paul.
All right, perfect. Oh, you do? Perfect. All right, let's go ahead and take a short break. And I just wanted to play a little Fast As You by Dwight Yoakam, right? Fast As E-Bikes, Fast As You. Jim's not as fast as me, though.
No, no. Used to be.
Slowing down a little bit?
Yeah.
All right. Brother Jim Russell in the house. Today's co-host. Wait till after the first of the year. The schedule gets really weird.
Yeah, I'll be looking for the studio.
I'm
It'll
kidding.
Be a new location.
You'll be fine. It's across
secret.
From the Christmas tree.
Yes, yeah.
I wonder if that's going to be up all year, right?
Got a big landmark now.
Man, it's huge up there.
Yeah.
It really is. That's called a cone, by the way, in geometry.
Yeah,
that's
certainly
a,
looks
that's a
like
conical
it's
shape.
Conical.
That's right. All right. Back with more in a moment with Lake Havasu City Police Chief Troy Sterling, Fire Chief Pete Palafis. Our phone number, 928-854-KNTR, or you can text 928-727-5566. It's our KNTR Talk text line. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Right, as I was just telling Jim, Brother Jim, the one of the newest members of the Eagles, right there, Vince Gill, One More Last Chance, a little 90s country, as heard on KJJ Nash 102.3, our sister station.
Yes.
Man, we got some Christmas cash coming up. You got to listen to that station for the details, too. That's going to be pretty cool. Yeah. All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by City Maytag. Of course, the sponsor for the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink. It's a naming opportunity. Did you know that? That's what they call it in the business, a naming opportunity. The University of Arizona Football Stadium was just named. It's after a casino. I'll have to pull up the story. I can't remember the tribe. There's a casino that a tribe owns down in Tucson that is now the football stadium's name.
Uh-huh.
It's never happened before, and it's the richest deal in Big 12 history as far as naming rights go. I know, hard to believe they're not in the Big 10 anymore, or the Pac-10, or Pac-12, or what was it? What was it when we looked last? Pac-12? Oh, I think it's the Pac-2 now. they all left. Every team left for either the Big 12 or the Big 10. So anyway, Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink, sponsored by City Maytag. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also, Mobby Mortgage. Love those guys. They'll be on tomorrow on the Real Estate Power Hour. Boom! Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford by Just Meats, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Springberg Wealth Management by Blonzy Steakhouse, and A&B Propane. A&B Propane, AZ.com. Did you know Blonzy's actually has a free Thanksgiving dinner?
No.
Yeah.
Well, how nice.
Yeah. In fact, I could go in there and serve if I wanted to, because it's not really it's a restaurant, but it's more of a private party at that point. They're not taking money, right? They're just serving food and
gosh.
Yeah.
How nice.
A free Thanksgiving dinner. They do it every year for whoever needs a Thanksgiving dinner.
Very nice.
So
of them.
I'm going out of town, but otherwise I would be there. For sure. And I told Melissa that. So out of the goodness of her heart. All right. Welcome back to the show. We have Chief Troy Sterling and Chief Pete Palafis in the studio. I don't say your last name enough.
I think you say it perfectly fine. And you say it enough.
I say it fine?
Yeah. You
Does anyone else mess it up like LaVoy?
Yeah. There's some individuals that do mess it up, but that's fine. I'm okay with it.
They used to mess up LaVoy. I mean, Lavoris was one. I was like, wow, where do you get that from, right? All right, so I got to grab my notes, and here they are. We were talking about e-bikes, of course, and that, and spent a lot of time on it, quite a bit. And the other big topic around town is medians.
Medians, yeah.
I found myself almost hitting a median. I'm driving in the right lane now. I think they're really good for that, actually.
I've noticed that, and And it's supposed to be a traffic calming effect, right? And
calming?
It slows people down.
Uh-huh.
You know, naturally, right? Yeah. And so I think we've seen a little bit of that, but yeah, you know, not being part of the ultimate discussions on the medians, I will say just in from the police department standpoint, we have taken a lot more damage reports, you know, because of vehicles hitting them. You know, conversations with some of the tire retailers in town, they've definitely saw an increase in business because of the medians. And I think our insurance companies, you know, talking to an adjuster the other day, they've seen some, claims. Rise in claims come in because of that too. But it's definitely one of those that continue to be a high complaint thing, especially on social media.
It's all the rage on Orchids and Karens.
But I definitely, it's one of those things that, you know, try not to be distracted, you know, focus on the road. And a lot of people I'm seeing a lot move towards that right lane now as well. So
I love that part.
Yeah.
I really do. In fact,
I was just going to say, it's kind of unsettling. You know, you are aware of it.
Yes.
And, you know, if it was 10 feet tall, you'd still be aware of it.
Right.
Because it's a little thing. You think, oh, God, I may hit that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why.
Well, you see how many black marks are on it all the way through. Like, wow, people are hitting this all the time.
One of the winners in the ADOT overhead sign contest.
Yes.
Did you see this?
I did, yeah.
Camp out in a tent, not in the right lane.
I saw that when I was driving down to Phoenix a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
I was like, is it referring to an event going on? A camping event?
Camp in a tent, not in the right lane. You got to love that. That's so many people do that.
Yeah.
Or in the left lane, I mean, camp out in the, in the right lane, not the left lane. So many people do that, though.
They do. They do.
I think a lot of it has to do with rough road. What do you think?
Well, the thing is, I actually witnessed it driving down 95 with my daughter in a car, and she's 16, has her learner permit, about to get her license, and she's just like, we saw a car just bump against the medium, and we're just like, oh, my God, everything they're saying out there is true. And obviously, the marking of black all the way down the medium, it is a problem, but I think it's something that eventually we're going to just have to get used to. And I mean, I don't see it changing, but the thing is, you do see individuals being a little bit more cautious once they bump off of it, but just have to be careful out there and just be cautious. But I mean,
I think the biggest thing, just kind of from a perspective that I put on this is, I've heard the things of, well, if I had to swerve because something was in the roadway, you know, last minute, you know, I can only swerve one way or else I'm going to hit the median, right? Those type of things. I think it's a good lesson in things that we go back to learning, when we took our driver's test, right?
Thank you.
You know, when you start looking at, you know, creating safe distances between vehicles. So, you know, the higher the speed, the more distance you're supposed to have, because that provides you an opportunity to see what's ahead of you and take some type of action, whether that be evasive or not. But being aware of your surroundings, you know, if I have somebody right next to me, I'm in that left lane and somebody's right to my right, I need to be aware that if I had to take some type of action, I either have to hit that car or I have to hit the median, right? So it's really about preparation. And so our minds should be thinking a defensive driving mode. And I think if we did that more often, we'd probably have better results because of that.
Okay. I'm hoping Jim Chaney's really listening right now, because we've had this debate. He says 10 feet for every 10 miles per hour. That's your following distance, right? Everybody knows this, right? 10 feet for every 10 miles per hour. I use the 2 second rule.
2 second rule, yeah.
So if I'm going 80 and I find a mile post and I count 1001, 1002 and I'm still, it still hasn't reached my bumper yet, am I good?
Well, on the higher speed. So usually it's 55 and above, you should start expanding to 5 seconds.
Oh.
You know, start.
Which 5 seconds?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Try this. I mean, as an experiment. Those of you that drive down in the Phoenix area, try creating that gap between cars. It's almost physically impossible.
You'll get
right?
cut off.
You would get cut off. But I've tried it a few times when I'm not, you know, not in a rush to get anywhere, right?
Sure.
Just to kind of see as an experiment. Yeah, I mean, everybody's in such a hurry nowadays that, you know, they don't leave that extra space.
Yeah.
And if something happened in front of you, you have no time to be able to react appropriately.
So we have a text here. I'm kind of interpreting this. I'm trying to read it word for word. I see their point, and this has to do with medians, but it needs to be a little thinner. Oh, the median needs to be. It's wider than what the turning lane would have been, is what they're saying. And then they just sent another text. The median I'm talking about, it's a little nerve-wracking of how tight it feels in that left travel lane.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. It does
seem
like it's close.
Yeah. I've heard, and I think Cal Sheehy said this too, that they went inside of the lane marking instead of outside of the lane marking when they laid those down.
Yeah. I think it is intimidating when it's not just a line that you could cross over. It's now an obstacle, right? And so I think it does put that in somebody, in people's minds.
Right.
But I think it just comes down to, take the precautions. Either drive in the right lane, watch your speed, and, no distractions in the car.
Right, right. My other favorite sign is stop ahead. You know that?
No.
Stop ahead.
No.
Or you used to say stop ahead, steal a stash. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a break. It's the text line, by the way, is 928-727-5566, 928-727-5566. Very appropriate we're talking about medians because we're going to spend 6 days on the road with Sawyer Brown. Right? Hear this song? You know this song?
No.
Nope. He's a Journey guy. All right. Who's buying lunch today, by the way?
I don't know. Rock, paper, scissors.
Are you guys doing late lunch?
I don't know.
I got a 1 o'clock meeting.
Then we're not doing lunch today.
We're not doing lunch.
Yeah, thanks.
Where are you hanging out? Dispatch?
Well, I expected lunch here today.
Oh, well. You guys are the ones in tight with Tracy, so
next
you got to figure that out. All right.
That Oreo wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough.
Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul LaVoie. 928-854-5687 or send us a text. Got two already. 928-727-5566. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Especially if that sound is your wheel rubbing up against a median. Yikes. Ooh, that almost happened to me, too. I'm like, and I have a brand new set of tires, right?
Yeah.
You see them. Not even 1,000 miles on them. Yeah, move over, Paulie. All right, Speak Up brought to you in part by The Chair. Also, Mojave College. Good job, Bighorns. I just can't get over that, how they're in the Nationals right now. Samsguns.com, also Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place, and by the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake with Bobby and Julie Lewis, and we're trying to figure out who's going to be here for the Real Estate Power Hour to represent the Lewis Team, along with Mojave Mortgage. That's on tomorrow's show, and we've got Pace coming in. You know Diane Klostermeyer, right?
Nah.
Diane brings us goodies. She would bring us lunch, too. But Pace is the Patriotic Americans for Constitutional Education in our schools. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do their prize drawing. It's their big fundraiser. And we're going to culminate that fundraiser tomorrow with a big drawing on the program during the Real Estate Power Hour. It's going to be in the last quarter mile.
Wow.
Right? Well, Chad's on the show, so I have to talk in quarter miles.
Yeah.
Because, he's a race car driver now.
Very cool.
All right. Then we're back on the... on Speak Out, not the Real Estate Power Hour, but on Speak Out. This is the Dia de los Dos Jefes.
Si.
Right?
Si.
When's the last time you were in Mexico, Mr. Man?
August.
In August?
Yeah, we were there just for August. We had.
What was the temperature like there?
In August, it got up to mid-80s.
Oh, man. This guy, he sends a picture, right? Pointing at his front door with a temperature gun. In July, and it said 72 on it. Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey,
yes, very,
it's 118
nice.
There. Guess what temperature it is here by Lake Chapala? I'm like, thanks, Jim. Thanks a lot. I'm going to make sure your seat's occupied next time you come in. All right.
If I can find it.
Right. So we did get a good plug-in for Household Hazardous Waste Day, which is December 13th.
That's right.
Ha! I got it. I remember. See?
8 to 12.
Tell me about the CTE updates, and I'm not talking about mental. I'm talking about the career technical education, of course.
Yeah.
Do you have any open positions? And Station 7, and try to leave some room for your fellow chief to chime in as well.
All right, I'll try to do this in 2 minutes.
You don't have to be that.
Yeah, why not? Why not? I
mean, we have about 7 minutes.
It's okay
left.
That Troy took up 20 minutes of the first.
Nice.
So CTE program, we're doing really well. We're going into the second, I'll call it academic semester. They're even though aren't quarters, but of our EMS, those individuals are transitioning over to the emergency medical technician certification. They're just wrapping up the emergency medical response certification. So that program's going real well. Seems like the students are a little shocked for this first time around of how important and how much studying there is required to be an EMT. So our instructors are doing an excellent job. So we look forward to kind of wrapping up this academic year. I can't believe we're saying that after January we'll be basically 4 or 5 months and wrapping up that CTE program. Fire program's going real well. In January we are hosting the Mojave College Fire Academy at Station 2. So this is the program that's running for 16 weeks from Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays. It'll be on our training grounds. So looking forward to that. January, we're also starting our apprenticeship program. So our paid apprenticeship program, we have selected two individuals. We have one on an eligibility list, so we look forward to that. We are having some up-and-coming retirements, some individuals that have resigned, but we're filling this position. We're having a big group actually come on around with our apprenticeship program and a couple others in January. So looking forward to that. Also, Station 7, we are kind of just completed our 60% design. Whoa. We're moving to 90%. Again, just stressing the local contractors here, please be part of this community. Bid the job out. Our procurement, our city will assist the process of walking you through that. Wilming is our contractor with Pearlman being our design. We're making headway with that program. And that is my snapshot for the fire department.
So, little known fact, I went to architecture school.
Really?
And
you ended up on the radio?
Yeah. This is my first one. So, did you expect that part of the job? The design phase and going through environmental impacts on sites and all that.
The thing is, this is a partnership. This is actually a public works project. We are just the customer that's going to be occupying that station to service that area. So we have a project manager. Phil Porter does an excellent job just keeping that on track, but he also has other projects that he's maintaining in the city. Again, when we talk about that one team aspect in the city, we just all try to work together to meet the common goal for the community. So is it taking a little bit longer? Yeah, and does it drive me crazy? Yeah, sometimes, but hey, it's a process, and we're working through that process to make sure that we're utilizing our taxpayer money responsibly, and they're getting the end product that I'm going to have at a 45 to 50 year station.
That's one of my favorite parts, though, was the model building and the site impacts, like an environmental study.
Yeah.
When you have, like, how does the wind hit the building, and where does the sun shine on it?
Paul, you know what's my exciting?
When it's over?
Ribbon
cutting?
Yes. when we're out there uncoupling the hose and the first engine or rig pulls out of there and we're serving that area. That's the exciting part of it.
I'm trying to remember the other day, what's the name of the retirement ceremony that when you back it?
The push-in ceremony?
The push-in.
Yeah, so
yes.
This will be actually an open house.
Nice.
Celebrating a new station that's serving Lake Havasu City.
Do you get to make the spaghetti like you do for the cruise?
I'll make them anything. We'll do whatever we need to get it open.
You look like you'd be a good cook on one of those 24-hour shifts.
You know what? Actually, this is the weekend. I made macaroni cheese from scratch for my kiddos, and they actually enjoyed it.
Really?
The thing is, I just picked it off. You know what the thing
was
is?
Was it microwaved?
No, it wasn't microwaved. I actually cooked it. The kids liked it, and I was like, wow. not too bad.
So it's better cool. than when you were in a station house.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I love cooking in a station. The thing is, the best way to not cook in a station is just make chicken raw for your first time, and then the guys will tell you never to cook again. That's one way that you can get done with not cooking at the fire station.
Awesome.
Chief Pete, yeah. are your ambulances still the big success?
Oh, the ambulance is a great success. And our partnership with River Medical is working out really well. And that service, I mean, we just hit our year anniversary, and it was an excellent resource, additional resources and services provided to our community by the city. Again, hats goes out to my team, the city manager, the council, the mayor, everybody for supporting that program because it is paying off for us.
What a wonderful benefit for the community.
So I wanted to save the best for last, right? The graffiti. We talked about graffiti last month.
Hey, that's the best.
Well, no, it's a good topic, though. And then Tracy would probably be expecting it as well. Is there a graffiti task force or anything? I think we left it at that.
I saw your task force word. I say all of us, all of our whole community is a task force here, right?
Yeah.
Because we need everybody's assistance in this. So no, we don't have a specific task force, but when we start having patterns of graffiti popping up like we currently do, those cases get assigned to our street crimes unit, and they put that focus in on trying to dig up any pieces we can to identify the culprits. And so, I will say what we're currently working on is we're going to try to put together, we're meeting this afternoon actually, with Jerry Broccomani and her team, to put together an educational video to really update the community on it. Councilmember Diaz had asked for a graffiti update, so December 9th we'll be putting together a presentation on that to talk about really what graffiti is, what goes into the investigative aspect, and truly what the punishment is, because a lot of people don't really understand that our city ordinance is very tough on those found responsible for graffiti, where there's mandatory jail time associated with that. So
good.
We want to highlight the punishment that goes along with that, and always asking for community tips, even if anonymous, if they have information that can help lead us to those responsible, we need that help. But right now we're looking for any type of, you know, camera footage that's out there in areas where graffiti has been found. And so we're just digging into those cases, and hopefully we'll have a positive update for our community on December 9th.
What are some of the clues? How do you know?
Well, sometimes there's various. Sometimes there is pieces of evidence that are left behind. And so, basically if we get, you know, some forensic analysis done on those, sometimes that leads to identification of a suspect. A lot of times it really comes down to specific individuals end up having their own what we call monikers. You know, their nickname that they go by. And so that's what they end up tagging.
Do you record those then?
Yeah, we keep track of those.
Really?
And link those to people. And so, and typically they are unique. And so we've even had investigation in the past where one of the taggers, that's what they would use on, let's say they were a high school student. They would highlight their moniker all over their notebooks and stuff.
Oh,
and so, would be able to identify them that way. But, again, that takes, people getting involved and they recognize those things and then reporting that to us so we can get to the.
It's the ego, Jim, gets you every time,
ego,
huh?
That's right.
Get you every time.
I gotta be careful when I'm tagging.
Yeah.
But a big part of that we're talking to Tracy is, there are community organizations, individuals that want to help with the cleanup aspect of it, right? And that's, we have city property versus private property. And the city property we do very well at. You know, when we notice something, we get that cleaned up. It's the private property that sometimes is a little bit more delayed.
Oh,
make sure we get the appropriate entities involved. In
like the side of your semi.
Yeah.
Right? The trailer, I mean.
Yeah. I'm always amazed to see trains with all of the
graffiti on it. Oh, I know.
Hey, one last shout out.
Yeah, go for
it. Okay, Mark Doyle, he's retiring. This Thursday is his last
Sergeant
day.
Sergeant Mark Doyle.
Sergeant Mark Doyle. Mm-hmm. And so he's almost 32 years in this profession with Lake Havasu City. So thank you, Mark, for serving our community.
Wow, we're purging the Department of Doyles.
Yeah.
Nice. I like it.
Can I do one shout out too?
I just want to
wish everybody in Lake Havasu City, everybody that's coming to Lake Havasu City, have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time with your families. Be safe. Cook smart and fill up.
Especially with that bird in the fryer, right?
Yeah, that's right. Don't outside, 10 feet away.
There you go. It's always 10 feet.
Well, and make sure that you thaw your bird, not a frozen one.
Ah, because of the water and the grease.
See, that architect, well, he didn't even do it, so.
I never took chemistry either. Amazing. It's just the big brain on Paul, right?
Love it.
All right, we're going to take our last break of the hour, and Jim and I will be back in a moment, and they're going to fight. They're going to fight over the tab.
Yes.
Find out who's paying for lunch. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Back on Speak Out, and a little reminder again, Real Estate Power Hour, boom, on tomorrow's show, along with, we'll have that PACE drawing, so if they're out there selling tickets, you can get one last minute. There's a lot of good stuff, too. It's always dinners and
great
little baskets and all kinds of stuff.
Cool.
Oh, man, the best part about those drawings is what they bring in for us to eat. It's always either donuts or cake.
Not all given away.
No, it's all snacks. It's high. It's just empty carb type snacks. All right, Hannity's up next. It's Karate Man after the news and a short break.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.